Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Well, hello!
Hello, Zuko here. But I guess you probably already know me.
You guys here for a rematch?
Negatory!
I think it's time I joined your group and taught the Avatar firebending.
Zuko! Yes! Why would I be expecting anyone different?
Greetings, my good Hotman.
We've been through so many things together.
Baby, you're my forever girl.
It'll be okay. It's not forever.
That's what I'd say, too.
Hotman? Hotman? Hotman?
My first girlfriend turned into the moon. That's rough, buddy.
Hotman? Hotman?
I got a pretty good look at you.
Let them rot.
I'll take that as a thank you.
Stay flaming, Hotman.
Stop calling me that.
Shh. I'm trying to watch.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra podcast for DongbuFang.net. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Lem.
Hey.
Delaney.
Greetings.
Derek.
Bonjour.
And Britt.
Arg.
Arg? That's... That doesn't sound very happy. Okay.
Britt's pirate.
Yeah, Brittany's a pirate.
Yeah. All right. Okay. You want me to put more feeling into it?
I guess so. Today, this is a mini-cast where we discuss a single Avatar Korra topic for a brief period of time. And today we'll be discussing nationalism in the Avatar world. Exciting, right? I know that just gets you so... The word nationalism just makes you so, like, enthused.
Makes me think of the AP US history test.
Oh, God, yeah.
So who's that?
Repressed memories from history.
Well, we will not be discussing stuff, boring stuff like that. Instead, we're discussing boring stuff in the Avatar world, which to us is exciting. So, basically, what we're going to do is thank you, Lem, for outlining this.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And okay. And,
I was waiting for that from the beginning. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and we will be going nation to nation, and then we've kind of covered this a little bit before, but. The interesting thing definitely comes when we add in Republic City. But it is interesting, the dynamic of the different nations and how nationalistic or not nationalistic they are. But anyway, let's start by defining nationalism, which Lem has as loyalty and devotion to a nation.
Uh-huh.
Did you, like, go to dictionary.com?
Oh, no, off the top of my head.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
No, I was lying, okay? It was dictionary.com.
Okay.
Well, can I bring something up, possibly?
Yes.
Well, just because we're going to get into it, is that nationalism is just, it's different from just us, well, I'm from the United States, Lem's from Canada, but I'm just going to say, as the United States, it's different from saying, like, I'm from a certain state, or, you know, it's the feeling that you're truly part of something bigger than yourself, that you're actually part of a nation. It's like, I mean, like, it's not, yeah, and loyalty, but you know what I mean? Like, it's different from saying, like from the, you know, the colonies. I'm from New York. I'm a Virginian. But then, like, you know, the actual feeling that there is this connection among people, and, like, you're part of this one entity.
Yeah.
I just wanted to.
Good job.
Yes.
You really inspired me.
Yeah, I know, right? let's...
I'm all about the history, I'm sorry.
As am I.
Yes, let's...
I feel bad now.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know.
I want a flag in the background of the lady.
Yeah. Let's start with, I want to start with the easiest one. Let's do the Fire Nation.
I wouldn't have gone with Fire Nation being the easiest.
I would be the hardest. Well, it'd be easier to define because it's basically a fascist. Well, it's not fascist.
It's also the Fire Nation that helps.
Well, okay, come on. The water tribes are kind of... Let's go with them. They'd be easy.
Well, I think it's hard because there's two of them, so it's like different dynamics for each.
But, also, Fire Nation has the word nation in it. Let's go with that.
Yeah, let's do that one.
They can just help one people.
Yes. Let's... Okay, so Fire Nation. They are the one you would most easily say is the most nationalistic of the four nations. Lem says very devoted to country. They so the two things that you point to are the guy in the blind bandit who actually this isn't related at all. I just want to bring it up, but he sings.
The Russian.
The Russian.
My lord.
My flame burns for thee.
boom.
Reminds me of the Genovian, like, national anthem.
Oh my god, yes. I agree.
Lesbian, is that actually the anthem, is a good question.
It's not an actual country, it's from,
Princess Diaries.
There you go.
That might, the one in The Blind Bennet, it might actually be the
That's a terrible anthem.
We know the
play. That might be a parody. We know the play.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. But it's actually not really. If it's a parody, then that's not related in the play. So.
My flame burns for thee.
Oh my god.
What?
Okay. The more related is the episode The Headband. Because it the greatest episode ever, and it also does it this, is. In that it establishes the nationalism of the Fire Nation. There's a Pledge of Allegiance to the Fire Lord, and that's a very nationalistic thing.
I would like
interesting
to out,
that
though,
they pledged the allegiance to the Fire Lord and
yes. Not the country.
The nation, but to the Fire Lord.
What does that say?
It says that they're like North Korea. Hero worship is infallible.
It's all about that.
Like, Germany. Like I said lots of times, Ozai has a god complex.
Well, he's kind of like, he acts like a pharaoh.
It's there interesting if the national anthem was in place before Ozai.
Well, I mean, just all foreign lords in general, like.
Yeah, it's not necessarily just him.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, it seems
I mean,
like.
They take on the title Fire Lord. I am the Lord of Fire. They're not the Lord of the Fire Nation, they're the Lord of Fire, of the element. That's pretty presumptuous.
Derek, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems that, yeah, changing the anthem seems like something he'd do. One of the things actually that happened before World War II was that,
yeah.
If I can remember it properly, Hitler actually made some changes to the German national anthem to the point where it's basically illegal to sing the second verse of that anthem now. So it seems like the kind of thing that Ozai would do as well, to just take what already is there and then modify it to suit himself even more.
Well, look, yeah. I mean, they changed history. I mean, they changed mm-hmm. what happened to the Air Nomads, so that was definitely mm-hmm. possible.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It could have. I would think that it may be started with Sozin, but there's no way to
yeah,
know for
there's,
sure.
There's reason to say it started and just kind of like snowball effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Lem also has on here. Nationalism from the Fire Nation comes from Sozin's belief that his nation is superior. The history of the Fire Nation we see definitely starts with Sozin, and it's hard to say what elements existed before that.
Well, the Fire Sages.
Yeah.
Well, that's just. I mean, they honored the Avatar separately, and then that clearly got corrupted. So, I mean, we can see like there was some. It wasn't always Crazy Fire Nation.
I think it was because you could tell what they used for the justification was the fact that the Fire Nation was way... Like, you could even tell. Back then, the Fire Nation was doing really well. They were in a time of, you know, prosperity and peace. And what does Sozin say in 306? That they wanted to share it with the rest of the world, right?
And then so also, like... Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty much done.
Well, I was just gonna say. I mean, we can. In the beginning, Katara's intro. Then the Fire Nation attacked. I mean, like there was just the world was fine. They were like, oh, we're all these. The four nations lived in harmony, and then everything changed. I mean, it's just this sudden change when the Fire Nation. I mean, there was. I mean, it was a good time beforehand.
Well, in terms of nationalism, I think it's definitely possible, if not likely, that the Fire Nation was more nationalistic than at least as nationalistic as, let's say. Like the Northern Water Tribe, I don't know, and they could have still been very, and like Lem, I think, was talking about, like, it's probably due to their prosperity.
And, like, Manifest Destiny in the United States, and just the age of imperialism anyway, that was the whole thought process. Have you heard of the poem Kipling, White Man's Burden?
Yeah, I've heard that one.
Yeah.
But we're not sure if he was kidding or not, to be fair.
Well, yeah, he was crazy, but, I mean... That was the whole ideology, you know. Hey, I mean, we're really awesome, and we're better than everybody else. We need to go share it with everybody. So, I mean, that was the whole point to the imperialism. But the other nations don't jump on that train the way the Fire Nation does. Like, they're like, let's colonize the Earth Kingdom, because the Earth Kingdom clearly needs all this awesomeness. So that's, like, really, like, yeah, I'm trying
also,
to...
Also, I think Sozin's original plan was... sorry, excuse me. Sozin's original plan was... Probably when he was young, he wanted to do that, probably in like his 30s or whatever, when Roku was getting married. I think had he advanced fully to where he wanted to be, it would have gone a lot better, but by the time, at the end, it was pretty much born out of hatred towards Roku, and he was like an old man, let's think, so he probably advanced his plans further than he ever thought he would, because he knew that his death was probably coming soon.
Well, I don't think there was hatred toward Roku. The only reason, it's just when they came in conflict. I mean, because they were still friends. I mean, they became estranged, but I mean, I don't think it was the driving.
His decision to do what he did was kind of born out of that conflict.
Oh, because Roku was dead. Yeah, I mean, there was no barrier to him.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, that I do understand that, but I don't think that it was driven by hatred of Roku. It was just opportunity. This was his chance, because Sozin was old, and then, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I do get that part, but I don't think it was driven by hatred.
I mean, think about it, he's probably been waiting a good 40 years to do this, he's finally got it, no one can stop him, so nationalism may be his excuse, but he's just gonna go to town.
I mean, I do think, like, we do see with Sozin this whole, I mean, because we... More than the other countries, they emphasize this is, you know, the Fire Nation. I mean, we are one people, and we're going to go and...
The sons and daughters of fire, the most powerful element. Yep. The words of the immortal Zhao. Just thinking about it makes me laugh.
The immortal Zhao. Oh my god, I can't even...
We'll never die.
He is immortal. He's...
He's part of a blue fish monster now, and that's how we remember him.
He is on the Chinese Olympic team currently.
Yes, I recall that.
Anyway, the point I want to make, we kind of hit on this, is that the Fire Nation wanting to spread their culture to the other nations, and that we can see this kind of, it's interestingly corrupted because we see it from Ozai's point of view, but in this series, the season 3 finale, like they literally just burn, like spring fire to the Earth Nation. I don't know.
They burn the land of... bunch of nothing.
And they see, like, everyone else, I think, as not necessarily... Well, yeah, I think the Earth Kingdom they see as enemies, you know, kind of like the whole... With nationalism, a lot of what, like, especially with United States history, is that a common enemy unites the people.
Mm-hmm. You know, definitely.
Yeah. Like, that's a big part of nationalism. Oh, I don't really like you. Enemy. We both hate this person, so let's go. I mean...
That's basically like, World War II in a nutshell.
Exactly. That's essentially what's going on. Fire Nation is Nazi Germany.
it's interesting. We've kind of drawn comparisons to the Fire Nation, to Nazi Germany, the United States, and we haven't said Japan, but there's also...
Well, imperialistic Japan, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Goes without saying.
Yeah, so there's a lot of influences from our history on the Fire Nation. Lem, what you have two quotes here that are pretty good evidence for the Fire Nation's nationalism. I'll read them, okay.
I didn't understand what you said, though.
Zuko says, my nation, my country, I'm about to lose them all. That is 220?
No, 113. Close, though. You're like a few off. After the Blue Spirit, Uncle Huck compete with Zhao. He's got all the armada and everything.
Okay.
You know, Zhao was taking over all those ships, and he's like, my nation, my country, I'm about to lose them all.
Zuko's angst kind of recurs several times in the same form. So,
but we also don't see...
I don't want that down, honestly, because it really doesn't back up anything, but it just struck me how much the Fire Nation, like, I don't think we've ever heard anyone else refer to, like, their country in that manner, like, their nation in that manner.
We never hear country with anyone else.
Well, no one from the Earth Kingdom would lament that they're going to lose the Earth Kingdom. Like, that's not a thing that would be in place in the show.
It's also humongous, and they have a lot of provinces, so that's
different. We'll get to that.
Yeah, that's
the Earth Kingdom's like Canada.
They're like feudalism. It reminds me of, like, early China. They were considered themselves, like, one... Like, Earth Kingdom considered themselves one country, but they were not... They were one people. But it was not one country until Qin the Great decided, I'm going to conquer everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see the Earth Kingdom as very, as earlier China. Yeah.
Good transition. Mm. Good transition there.
Well, let's end the May. End May says betraying your country. This one's probably 220 or 301.
Close, though. It was actually the Boiling Rock. So
really?
It get closer. when she looked, he's just like, I'm doing this for my country. She's like, you're betraying your country.
Oh, okay.
When, in the interrogation.
Mm. Ali would have gotten these.
Yeah.
Well, and then she would have, like, slapped you through the internet, Dylan.
angry. She's going to yell at you in Japanese when she reads.
May definitely said something similar, though, in either 220, the comic, or 301. The comic being the thing that comes in between.
Well, yeah. When I first read these, I was thinking the comic, but yes.
Yeah, okay.
I understand.
Yeah. So yes, let's transition to the Earth Kingdom, which is like the opposite kind of.
The least nationalistic, I would go so far to say.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Southern Water Tribe, but yeah. And it's... Although the Southern Water Tribe, in a way, is kind of...
There's like four people.
The Water Tribe was the least, but look... I've never heard from Iroh himself that they have a strong sense of community.
Yeah, so that's true. They throw it at us, so...
To point out, if we're talking about the Water Tribes, that the Southern Water Tribe, the little hole in the wall place that Katara and Sokka were living in, is not the entire Southern Water Tribe. There were
different... I've watched that episode. I'm like, this is pathetic.
So this is something that's quote unquote canon because it's in the canon, but it's never presented in the show.
One second.
But yeah, this is what Britt is referring to. There's I think Nick.com. There's something on there that has like a map, and there's like 20 different Southern Water Tribe communities.
Yep. So Southern Water Tribe is Alaska.
But this isn't something that we see presented in the show, so it's not like something I accept. Anyway, but I deny things that are in the show, as everyone knows. But the Earth Kingdom, it's okay, that's Britt in the background. The reason, a big reason it's so nationalistic, as we've said before, is that it's so big and there's such like pockets instead of it's not like there's constant population or whatever population density throughout it, in terms of what we see. But the interesting thing beyond that is that even the big city doesn't seem very nationalistic at all.
Well, kind of, I wanted to bring up the point that it's like, I'm going to go back to Manifest Destiny. We decided not to annex Mexico because, you know, during the Mexican-American War, so we had the chance to, and we were like, no, that's too much. We don't need that much land. Like, I mean, you get to the point, like, you can either, like, there's, like, the right amount of land and, like, the giant amount of land. I mean, it just, you have to rule differently. That make, like, if you're going to have, like, a united, like, a monarchy, because we have the Earth King.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also, the Earth King's been in seclusion, so do the people actually, like, know what's, like, has anyone ever, like, he's never left Earth Palace. King is,
like, you know, king of the Earth, like, the entire Earth Kingdom. He's king of Bossing to say. Just like Bumi was,
Well,
I have to say it's very interesting that Bossing Se isn't overly nationalistic when you think of the fact that, well, I personally view the Dai Li sort of like the KGB. So, like, you can't say crazy stuff around them.
Kind of like the Praetorian Guard and stuff.
Yeah,
Bossing Se is essentially a police state.
Yeah, is interesting that Bossing Se isn't nationalistic because, like I was saying before, it's more population dense. They have a ruler of the nation, and Britt was saying how he's just the Bossing Se like leader, which is true. But like, it's the proclaimed capital of the Earth Kingdom. So
yeah, I mean, he's the Earth King. He's not like we have King of Bumi is the King of Amashu. We know this.
Yeah, well,
that's another thing we have. It's kind of like how like Alexander the Great's empire was broke. I'm so into history. I'm sorry. It was broken up. I mean, we have like this one leader, and then we have his little provincial rulers.
Yeah.
I mean, this happened a lot during ancient history. Like you'd have this, you know, you have the big king, and then you have like viceroys and stuff. So yeah, that's beginning to make more sense.
That
so yeah,
brings up the
this
question of how the Earth Kingdom was. The history of the Earth Kingdom, was it ever united and then like an Alexander the Great type thing and then implemented figureheads and or not figureheads but just rulers?
Yeah,
so
you did do that like in Egypt with the
what's the word?
Cleopatra's dynasty was they were there for 300 years and they were
the
all
Ptolemies.
Greek. The Ptolemies, there you go. Thank
what's,
you
what's the word for this spreading the Greek culture through this is like an U.S. history keyword. Or not U.S., world history.
It's classical culture.
I'm going to remember it. Anyway.
I didn't take that.
I don't recall anyone. The most nationalistic thing we see in the Earth Kingdom is teaming up against the Fire Nation. Like with Jet, they kind of have a sense of, not in sense of the Earth Kingdom, but at least a sense of them, their group, and against the Fire Nation.
Yeah.
Which is what we're talking about, you know, before, you know, uniting against an enemy.
Yeah. And even when they're, we see, like, the Bossing Se has a war council, it seems more specific to the city kind of, rather than
the mission. But the Siege of Ba Sing Se was such a tragedy to the Earth Kingdom. It's just, it's really, I mean,
it really wasn't, because Iroh did say that it's because of the Earth, I don't know if he said it in these exact words, but he said it's because of the diversity of the Earth Kingdom that they can sort of weather the storm, right? If Ba Sing Se goes down, it was never really a capital. It was never really felt to be the heart of the Earth Kingdom. It was, if anything, maybe it was the heart of the entire world, but when they captured it, it was more of a loss for the war than it was for the people.
I just feel like I understand that Aang died there, but I do feel like that Katara and like everyone gave a lot of like emphasis on the siege of Ba Sing, the second siege of Ba Sing Se.
Wait, which one are you referring to, Rian?
I said the second siege about when Aang dies.
I know, but I still don't know. Oh, okay.
Yes, and the first one, originally I was talking about, it's been sieged twice. I mean, why are they trying to siege Ba Sing Se twice? The Earth King does nothing. I mean, why is it so important? It's because it's the capital of the Earth Kingdom, and it just seems like, I mean, that was such a big deal.
Well, they can fight back. Like, we
they have armed forces and walls.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I do feel like it was more because that it was supposed to be like the unbreakable, unpenetrable city, than it was because, oh, if we get Ba Sing Se, that means, you know, we've pretty much won the war. I think it's more because they failed, and the Fire Nation doesn't really take too kindly to failing.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, now, so you're talking about the original siege?
No, the second siege.
The Fire Nation win.
Yeah, but the reasoning behind them trying to take it down, I don't think Azula was doing it because of winning the war. I think she was doing it to get like her name as a legend, and you know because Iroh failed.
Yeah. Okay. I got because you kept saying failure, and it's like the Fire Nation didn't fail in the second siege. Okay, I got you now. It just wasn't clear to me what you're talking about.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I don't know.
It's been presented as conflicting things. It's just confusing.
We don't have a solid history of Ba Sing Se or the siege, or we don't really know what effect it has on the rest of the Earth Kingdom, the first one. So it's incomplete knowledge.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the Water Tribe.
Which one?
The Water Tribe.
Well, there's two, right?
I thought you misheard me. That's why I said that. Say, Lem, you can read the quote you quoted. The quote you quoted.
Well, the quote I quoted, okay.
Yeah.
Before you read it,
Hellenism was what the term I was talking about.
Oh, okay. Oh. I knew I was thinking Hellenistic, but I didn't understand what you were going for.
Yeah,
I got
okay,
you.
Anyway, go, Lem.
The Water Tribe is what Iroh said. The people of the Water Tribes are capable of adapting to many things. They have a sense of community and love that holds them together through anything.
Was that during the Siege of the North?
No, close. But it was actually a bit of work.
Yeah, okay. This is when Iroh was like drawing the things in the sand to Zuko.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Because of that community line, it's because of that community line that makes me think that they're really not that nationalistic, to be honest, because there's not really much of a nation to be nationalistic about. But they do have that sense of community, that they all have to stick together. That gives me that feeling.
So they're devoted to each other, but not an idea.
Yeah.
It's for the Southern Water Tribe, it's kind of impossible to describe them as nationalistic, because
I mean, they were utterly destroyed, almost.
Even when they weren't, I was looking at pictures of that from the Southern Raiders. I'm like, this still isn't very impressive for any kind of city. That's like a village. An average village in the Earth Kingdom rivaled what the Southern Water Tribe was at its peak.
But remember Korra, though. I mean, what we see at, like when they rebuild.
Oh, yeah. Korra was like, it was really spread out. Like, it wasn't a city that we've seen before in Avatar The Last Airbender. It was just a gigantic mass of different things and different slopes and stuff.
Just, okay, quick questions. Make sure I'm not misremembering. There's, in the Southern Raiders, do we ever see a map of multiple communities in the Southern Water Tribe?
I don't think so,
yeah.
Whenever it's presented on maps... Oh, what? Sorry.
Oh, nothing.
Yeah. I think we just got the entire South Pole, didn't we?
That's what I was about to say. That's all we see on the map, is, like, the South Pole.
Okay.
So we don't know if they're, like, spread out or anything.
Because there is a map of with multiple pockets, but I don't... I'm just making sure it wasn't from that. But yeah, the Southern Water Tribe definitely has a sense of community, and a sense of the tribe, Like they Sokka, they have to defend their village and stuff like that.
They have like rites of passage.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah.
Which defines like that's a culture.
Like, even if not like from a nation governmental standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure governmental is a word, but I'm using it.
It is, but yeah.
Like we think of Native American culture. I mean, they're not like a nation in the like the conventional sense. We have, you know, I mean, they have their culture and their rituals and where, you know, where like what they do, where they live, and like how their leaders work. But it's not like how we would, how especially at that time. I mean, when we were shoving the Native Americans out west, was, you know, it just wasn't what Americans defined as government and as in general how the world defines what a government is.
Yeah, so they're devoted to their community, but not necessarily nationalistic. The Northern Water Tribe, on the other hand, seems to be one place and has a ruler and a just people
and a caste system.
A caste system.
And it's a class system, maybe not a caste system, which is.
Well, I meant like I mean certain roles. I guess caste was just the first thing I thought of.
I don't think we know enough about them to say anything like that.
Well, I also like to point out.
Sorry.
I would like to point out that you said that the Northern Water Tribe was one place, but Legend of Korra seems to differ on that because when you see Yakone's village, Yakone's village is like it's not the Northern Water Tribe that we know.
Well, that was the big Northern Water Tribe city, though. I mean. That we saw. I mean,
yeah, but it's not localized, is my point. It's not just one place, so...
Yeah, this is true. We don't know if it's, yeah.
I mean, so, maybe. It's the entire North Pole. I mean, the Northern Water Tribe city we see is not the entire North Pole.
I guess. No. In my head, during Avatar, it was, but you're right. Now we have contradictory evidence with Yukon.
But it's kind of like discovering the world. I mean, Aang's been lots of places, but he hasn't been everywhere.
Yeah. Even if they do have like pockets outside, there's like a central place, and another interesting is they have. We talked about this in the religion minicast, but they have religion more so in deity worship than the other nations. That kind of lends itself to nationalism because their deities are specific to their nation and their element.
And they have it, and it's shared by all.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a big part of a nation is that you all believe in them. In general, there's like a common religion or belief system.
Perhaps the second most nationalistic, I'd say, behind Fire Nation.
Agreed. But also, the Fire Nation and the Northern Water Tribe seem to be the most isolated from the other nations, because the Fire Nation is an island off by itself, and the North Pole is the North Pole.
It's an
Pole.
Island chain.
Yeah.
We see a lot of isolated places in Avatar, because the Air Temple is also isolated, and then the pockets of the Earth Kingdom, they're not like physically isolated, but they're just not that big, and they're cut off from... They just don't have necessarily constant contact with other places.
Yeah, we don't really see a good transportation system until we get to Legend of Korra.
Yeah.
Which is important in having, like, that sense of nationalism, is when you have, like, roads and trains and such.
Yeah, well, presumably...
It's an excellent point, actually. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, linking the nation. I mean, that's very important. That was a big part of... Well, any nation building and, like... And I keep coming for the point of American history, because that's what class I'm in right now, sorry. But we had, like, Western expansion. The big part of that was building the railroads out west, is to bring everything back. I mean...
Yeah, nationalism must have really grown leaps and bounds during, like, that innovation that happened in between Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra.
Well, so in Ba Sing Se, we see a train. So, presumably, after the events of Avatar, this train system spreads pretty quickly to the rest of the Earth Kingdom, connecting it more, et cetera, et cetera.
Or, like, better roads. I mean, just, there has to be better transportation to have this...
Be honest, even the bison... The increase of bison probably helped too.
Even though we don't know exactly how that happens.
Well, if you know, Appa got his Appa got the job done.
No, that's not true.
Think about that. Just stop. I can't have this thought. Why ruined my childhood?
No, the correct answer is Aang randomly discovered more bison, which is actually true.
Hmm. Yeah, that's actually what happened.
Actually what happened. Yeah.
Somehow.
It doesn't make sense, but whatever.
Actually, it could make sense. They're just hiding.
They're just hiding, yeah.
Six-legged monster.
They were in the Cave of Two Lovers. That's totally what happened.
Oh, yeah, Two Lovers.
Canon. Oh,
Lem, go away.
Like, live in, like, three words ruined my childhood.
I know. Okay, Air Nomads.
These are not allowed. No.
Air Nomads really hard to define because they're not in the series currently. You know,
and they're nomads.
Yeah, and they're nomads. So nomads inherently would imply no nationalism, but at the same time, they're quote unquote.
I would disagree with that.
Not really. Because I mean, person
that is ethnic. They have ethnicity at least, which is nationalism. It's just different.
That could be different.
Like, within their own culture, there is a nationalistic sense of community. Like, travelers in, you know, England and Ireland have a sense of community and nationalism, but it's not to the state. Like, it's not a government nationalism.
Well, you can make the point of Israel.
Yeah.
Derek, go ahead.
Yeah, you also have, if you kind of, when I'm thinking back to, like, the Huns and the Mongols, and I mean, originally, yeah, the Mongols weren't really nationalistic, but after they were united, they were pretty much about as nationalistic as you can get, in the sense that, you know, anyone that wasn't them was pretty much dead. But
I guess the counter to that is I don't know how much of nomads they were once they were united, you know?
True.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing with the air nomads, though, is that they're not like... We don't see an actual, like, one later we have this council, but of course that could be different in, like, different temples.
Yeah, well, I guess my point, what I was trying to say before, is that even though they're called the air nomads, we don't see much, I don't know what the noun version of nomadicking is, something like that.
Moving.
Walking. Yeah,
moving, my
no, that's
goodness.
not the word I was looking for. But
okay. But Aang's been all over the world, so that is, I mean,
you have to use that.
Aang's different, though.
Also, I have to think that with those temples probably wouldn't... I mean, compared to, like, the Earth Kingdom or the Fire Nation, those temples probably wouldn't be able to hold the entire population of air nomads in the world.
I think they're more of it's a religious, like, Tibet. Like, it's unity over religion. Also, Aang is not different because Aang met Bumi before he knew he was the Avatar, so he wasn't different.
They knew he was the Avatar, though, so...
Until
the test.
They could have been sending him out places, you know. But
well, you don't know other people didn't go, but that's my point. That
I know we don't know enough, but that is true. You bring up a good point. Aang visited all the nations and stuff.
But then there's Sozin, and you have to take that into account. He committed genocide, killed pretty much all the almost all the airbenders in the entire world. That's got to be difficult if they aren't localized, if they aren't heavily localized. Like, we saw those temples burning. So
didn't he do it during a festival, like when they were all at the temples? I thought that was canon.
I think
really?
It's like,
I
was probably in, I think I remember hearing about that, but it was like in one of those side things on like Nyx.com. That's how I was more than one talkative water tribe, is because it was mentioned that Katara's father, Takoda, searched amongst the other like little pockets of the water tribe to find her a water bender teacher and then couldn't find one.
Yeah.
You see, I thought that's what it was like. There was a religious festival or something, and Sozin's like, I'm gonna attack!
That's actually really cold, then, when I think about it.
I mean, that's to have them all at the temples, I mean, like, that's the only way that could have happened. And for them to be called air nomads, what's the point of calling them air nomads if they don't travel? That's stupid.
Maybe it's because they were nomadic in spirit.
They are referred to as the air nation, also.
We don't know the mythology building process that Mike and Brian went through. I don't think they needed to come up with anything. It was like, here's a name, and we don't need to get into the backstory too much. So
well, this is true.
It wasn't required for what they were doing.
Yeah. Either way, they're not. I would rate them incomplete on the grading nationalism scale because we don't know.
It's not an option.
Well, we can think about how Aang's rebuilding them, like with the acolytes. Like, I mean, it doesn't seem like a nation.
Well, I don't. Do you count them? Do you not count them? I don't know.
They're supposed to be the new air nomad. I mean, what's the point of Aang doing this?
It's keeping the culture alive because they're not like airbending. Well, then that brings up the part is bending through the place and spirituality, and can they obtain back airbending by being et cetera, et cetera.
I've had enough of that for like genetics discussion number 56.
We're gonna have another genetics.
I couldn't listen to it. I was like crying.
I don't even want to do it on the science person. No, I've had enough.
I can't do it anymore.
Just so everyone knows, there's more to genetics than putted squares, but.
Those are the funnest parts, though. But I would...
No, they're not.
Anyway.
Especially with people on Tumblr who don't know crap about science.
Oh, well, yes, this turned into a Tumblr rant now. But anyway,
Let's get going. Dude.
Okay, so number one, most nationalistic Fire Nation. Number two, Northern Water Tribe. Number three, I would also rate the Southern Water Tribe incomplete because they don't actually have a nation.
No, I would put them. I would put them easy. Number three. Number three, definitely.
Well, if we are allowed to rate them as nationalistic, then we're putting them at three, and then Earth Kingdom at four, and then Air Nomads at incomplete.
Oh, that's another point. The Earth Kingdom has a king. Also, we know Hakoda is the chief, but that doesn't mean he's the chief of the entire Southern Water Tribe.
Well, again, this is taking into account that that's canon. But yeah,
Brike, what are you doing?
We don't know enough. Like, I don't accept that as canon.
I'm pretty sure that's the point of season two.
Yeah, that's true. We'll definitely get this more explored next. Well, then again, I think they're only starting in the Southern Water Tribe, and then they're going to come back. Or I don't know.
Then Northern Water Tribe, and
because her uncle's in the Northern Water Tribe.
Are they starting in the Northern or the Southern?
No, they're starting in the Southern. And they're going to migrate to the Northern
because Kai is going to be there. Darn it!
At some point, they're going back to Republic City too, or they might swap because presumably Bolin will be there or Sami.
We're going to have three new. We're going to have three places.
What's happening with Asami?
Asami's going to be in Republic City, yeah, because she has to run the
her planes.
Yeah.
Same with Bolin. He's going
to
be,
and she has to fall in love with Iroh. That has to happen.
Yes, it does.
Oh, Iroh Sami. Okay. Sorry, I wasn't going to say Fire Nation. Fire Nation capital, that's where I want to go. I want to get there.
Yeah, I want to know more about the Fire Nation right now.
What's going on there?
It would be interesting.
That's also another weird thing. It's in a caldera. Why would you do that?
It's not called what?
What?
What did you say?
The Fire Nation capital is in a caldera, a volcano caldera. That's
okay,
where it is.
Okay, yeah. Well,
that's not a good idea.
Well, I changed mine. I want to go to the Fire Nation because then we would say Honora.
Yeah, that's why I want to get a name.
Yeah. Ursa. Her name is Ursa.
That's like canon. You can't.
I promise you, Ursa. Like, if it's not Ursa, I'll eat something weird.
I would say there's a 90% chance it's going to be Ursa.
Like, I'm so miffed like that Iroh's called Iroh.
It's
right
so
now.
Predictable.
I don't believe it.
Honora is called
tomorrow.
If her name's Honora, I'm going to die. Just saying. Like, it actually happens.
I think. Did we make up the pronunciation of Honora? I feel like people call it something else.
That's something that we made up.
Yeah, because
I got it from you guys. So.
Because most people don't like pronounce these words, so we
it'd be like Hanora or something.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Honora. Okay.
I mean, the word's honor. I mean, you can't pronounce it weirdly. It's honor.
Well,
you're cutting out a bit, Dylan.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, joke could be that like it's like spelled Honora, but it's pronounced something else. That may have been the original intent of the joke, but I don't care. We're expanding it beyond that.
We got off topic a bit there, hey?
Yes. Okay, let's go. Let's talk about Republic City. Lem, what do you think of Republic City and nationalism?
This one was a hard one to do, but I think it's relatively nationalistic. As much as it can be, because when you think about it, sort of like America, it's the melting pot of cultures. All the other cultures from all the other nations sort of blended together to create Republic City. So you gotta ask yourself, do they still have ties? Do they still feel nationalistic to their, you know...
I consider it sort of like a city-state, like Athens or Greece. Because we don't see, like, it's the Republic City, that's all we see. And it has its own, like, you know, entities, like, ruling and such.
I'm kind of torn.
It's a melting pot, because Bolin and Mako, who are our biggest examples, as well as Asami even, who are, you know, Earth, Wind, or Fire with their brothers, they don't have connection to either the Fire Nation or the Earth Kingdom, because they are both, and they don't really have that sort of
problem.
Asami's, you don't even know what Asami is.
She's
green eyes, but she's pale.
But the Republic City, I guess we have to remember, which kind of negates my city-state argument, is that we know it's in the United Republic of Nations. Like, it's not just there. I mean, we have the, what is the forces, the United Forces, what is it
United
called?
Forces.
Forces,
yeah.
So, okay, just checking. But, yeah, I mean...
I think you have to take into account several elements when evaluating this, because they definitely hold on to their nations at least to a significant extent, if not major... because the council is made up of representatives from each nation, and they're probably to a certain extent segregated by in terms of living.
Yeah,
they probably naturally group by their element.
In
I
the
think
cities,
the council.
Oh
no.
What?
Yep. One of you talk.
I was just going to say, like, the city streets reminded me of, if you've ever been to Disney Epcot, where they have, like, the row of nations and all the stalls.
Yeah.
Like, they're in the street. It's like, oh my god, it's Epcot. And it's just, I mean, like, you just have all this different variety of food, like, when a Korra goes to, and I'm pretty sure it was Water Tribe food at that stall, and she's like, I don't have any money. And then she's like, get away. And then,
what good are you? Yeah, what good are you to me?
Yeah, exactly. It's like it just looks like they have all sorts of different stalls and like different foods from the nations, and we haven't seen any cabbages yet, which is disappointing. But
and
like actual cabbage, we haven't seen actual.
We've seen
cabbage.
That we've seen statues of cabbages.
Yeah, but there's not actual cabbages, which is what I'm talking about. We've seen one cabbage, and it's the one he's holding. That's not enough.
It kind of gleams, you know. Has
okay, this is off.
Wait, isn't in episode one? Doesn't she crash into several like crates of like food, and one of those is a cabbage? If I'm gonna be,
oh yeah,
you're just assuming there was a cabbage. Did you actually?
Oh, there was a cabbage. The guy was holding a cabbage.
Okay.
Okay.
I will go back and look.
There.
I'm okay. Scared.
We are off topic now.
really off topic.
to the extent that the nations that Republic City does not maintain its ties to its nations, then the question is, does it have a do they feel loyalty to Republic City specifically? And I would say that we see relatively no evidence of that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I mean, we just see the normal heroes being heroes, but it's not like, save Republic City. It's just like, we need to stop this. This is crazy. They're blowing up the city and junk. And protecting each other like Tenzin and the Air Nomad kids.
I think Republic City is definitely on its way to becoming like its own sort of nation thing and have its own people feel devoted to it. But at the time of Korra, I don't know
if it's not quite there yet. But
yeah.
That
well, the
being
whole point
said,
is division.
When it comes
that's
to,
the whole point.
When it comes to like the council, I do feel like that's a bit dated now, because I really am having trouble seeing the distinctions between, like right off Welcome to Republic City, I was really confused, because right off the bat, I saw four people in a row, I'm like, okay, what nation are you from? Because in Atla, you can't have actually said that. In
no,
Atla,
that's not a thing,
that's not
Atla.
That's not all right.
It's ATLA, yes. Continue, but...
Well, Atla,
that's how
I was confused about what you were talking about. No one says that. You're not, no. Like Atla. What character is that? This is very confused.
In Atla.
No, don't say
it's gonna keep
it's gonna be like catting, isn't it? I'm gonna have to live with it.
Well, it's not a thing, no.
Please. In Atla.
No, stop it.
Atla.
ATLA.
In Atla.
Oh my god.
I did see.
Kick you off.
Sounding weird to me now.
Next week.
I'm running out of time. Hurry it up. Go.
Yeah, make your point.
In Atla, all the people, I could tell almost instantaneously where they were from, but here it's kind of weird, so.
I agree. It's merging together. I don't necessarily think they've had an established a sense of their nation yet, though.
Yeah, they just don't have that devotion to Republic City. I mean, they live there and it's awesome, but they don't have that, like, I mean, like, in America, you mentioned the melting pot. That's what Republic City is all about. But, you know, we have this, there is this sense of, you know, I'm part of a country, I'm part of the United States of America. But in just Republic City, it's like, ah, we live here.
Yeah,
there's people.
I do think your point about the council becoming outdated, though, is an interesting one. And I think that's something we could see explored, because I agree with that.
Democracy in Republic City, episode 4. That's, like, democracy, that's gonna be the name of one of the episodes. It's gonna happen.
They wouldn't do that.
Yes, they would.
They're becoming more creative. Like, they had The Voice in the Night. That was a creative episode title.
That was a good episode.
Okay, anyway, I think we've covered that now. It's interesting. How would you rate Republic? I don't think we can rate Republic City on...
it's like a -5 if we rate it.
No, it's not anywhere near that low.
I would put it above the Earth Kingdom,
put it above the southern because it's coming.
It
you can see it's coming.
It's I think it's if we're not rating it incomplete, I would either put it above Earth Kingdom or Southern. I'm not sure.
I put it dead last.
Interesting.
I mean, the only thing we see is nationalism are the other nations in it. There's no, like, connection of Republic City. Like, we don't even have a Republic City pro-bending team, which is lame. So.
Republic City.
Oh, that's
right. FA Cup.
That would be like the Harlem Globetrotters, though, because they would have to always win, because it's,
a Nationals pro-bending game between all the nations. Can we all just picture that in our brains?
We have these different Dominions.
Work, you have to have all of the benders.
Well, no, yeah, they'd be fucked up on one team. Like, what is so funny?
I love Brit's snark, but yes, it inherently does not work.
Okay, well...
It really...
What I was talking about
was, like, the pro-bending teams are all named for places in the Avatar world.
The Republic City Benders, the Fire Nation Benders, the Water Tribe Benders.
It doesn't make sense because you need one.
Republic City isn't by itself; it's the United Republic of Nations.
Well, no. Acolytes would get dominated.
Rules of the game say you need one of each element.
That's the whole point of pro bending.
It'd be Milo, Ikki, and Jinora for the Air Acolytes.
I think you're missing the point.
You
of pro
definitely are missing.
This is funny. Anyway,
okay, we're done. We're done here. No,
we're done.
I've been your main host, Dylan. Mini hosts have been Lem, Delaney, and Derek. Co-host Britt. I edit and produce, and Jake owns Dongbu Fang. And yeah, what do you guys want to end on?
Epcot. I don't
know. Acolyte. No, cabbage.
No, we're not ending on cabbage.
We're not ending on cabbage.
Tacos and bananas.
That won't make any sense for this.
I think we're going to end on nationalism. We're going to say it with dignity, and that's going to be the end of it.
Okay, Britt. That was very forceful.
Inspired
my
you
flame
flag,
burns
you flag,
for the
dude.
Fire Nation. That's great.
As soon as this podcast comes out, I'm just going to listen to that inspiring speech. A place of American inspiring music, you know, get myself in the mood.
No. 1, 2, 3, nationalism.
Nationalism.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar the Last Airbender and Legend of Korra podcast for DongWuFang.net. This is a mini-cast where we discuss a short Avatar or Korra topic for a brief period of time. I am your main host, Melanie, and today I am joined by... I don't know why I just said my full name, but today I am joined by Allie.
Glad you didn't say my full name.
Alexandra. Lem.
Suck.
Yeah, hey.
Sam.
Hey.
And Delaney.
Luckily, I go by my middle name.
Ooh.
That's smart. Ooh, I don't like my middle
name. Let's see. I know your middle name. I did. Okay. I'll think about it. Okay. So our topic for today is... actually, Delaney came up with this topic and helped me do the outline. So thank you much for that. But it's comparing what goes on in the story arc, the first season story arc of The Legend of Korra, to the Salem Witch Trials of the United States. And just a brief summary of that for people who don't live in the United States and have no idea what that is, although I think it's pretty infamous. But basically, back in the day, there was this place called Salem. It's still around in Massachusetts, and there was
Where
this massive
Massachusetts.
It's in the northeast of the United States, below Canada. Did you not know? Or
I was kidding.
Well, now everyone knows. If you want to visit, that's where it is. Salem. Okay, so there was this witch hysteria where everyone started, like, freaking out. They were like, oh my god, that's a witch. And it ended up being, I think, what was the numbers? Like, 20
people? 20 people were hanged, including a dog.
And a dog, accused of witchcraft. It got out of control, and basically it was nonsense. It was, obviously there was no witches, it was just completely people...
Being crazy.
Being crazy. Thank you, Sam, for pointing out that I spelled summary wrong.
no problem.
Anyway, it was people basically, like, wanting each other's land, so they would, like, accuse each other of being witches, and they'd go to jail, and then they'd snatch up their land. It was basically scapegoating. And Delaney pointed out that this is similar to what goes on with bending in The Legend of Korra, and how the anti-bending sentiment just escalates and escalates and escalates to a similar point. So, how does it relate in depth? Well, the first is scapegoating. What is a scapegoat?
I forgot.
It's a goat.
You fail, Sam.
It's a goat.
You're Allie.
You escape the goat.
Did you really give a better example?
Stamps again. Look, I don't want to talk about it.
Too many times.
Anyway, scapegoating is basically when you blame someone, when you pick someone, usually an entire group of people, to blame for something. In one case it was Benders, in the other case it was whatever. I mean, you could.
The rich.
The rich. Well, essentially what happened was the first woman to be accused was a slave who was basically accused by these two girls who, if you've ever read the play The Crucible, makes it out that they didn't want to get in trouble, so they accused someone who they knew really couldn't fight back. So Amon, basically, it's scapegoating here is like how, Amon blamed the Benders for all the problems that he had and basically all the problems that society supposedly had, he said, were the fault of Benders. Do we agree? Disagree? Do we have thoughts? Feelings?
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Emotions about this?
I agree.
No emotions? Okay.
Sam and Delaney, talk.
Well, I couldn't hear the question. I don't know what's going on.
I personally don't really think that it's too in common with the Salem witch trial.
We will get to that, Sam. We're not at differences yet. Did you read the outline?
No. No, it just has slight differences. Sam, there are
so hard on that. Like, okay, so
it class just doesn't
warfare.
Connect in my head.
Class warfare. Again, this comes up in The Crucible as, it starts out two essentially not rich girls, but two girls in high standing who are the daughters of a pastor.
I don't mean to interrupt, but we should probably explain to those who don't know what The Crucible is, what The Crucible
is. I'm gonna get there! Did I bring it? I did bring it up. Okay.
Well, you brought it up a few times, so I'm just saying, please don't attack me.
About the Salem witch trials, essentially. And it's pretty historically accurate, but it does embellish on a few parts. It changes the ages of some characters, but for the most part, it's accurate.
Some characters are lovers.
Yeah, let's not know. We don't know.
Well,
yeah,
no.
Why not? It could come in handy. No, Lieutenant and Amon?
No, stop it.
Oh, no.
John Proctor.
Moving on.
Class warfare.
Afraid of the truth?
It's basically, because the first woman accused is this slave who is accused by these two kind of upper class girls. Not unlike the parallel you could draw in, it's kind of in reverse, essentially, what's happening in Korra, because then you have the have-nots attacking the haves and scapegoating the haves, if you see what I'm saying.
Well, I would like to point out that originally, was it really the slave that's really what started it? Because I know you're taking it from the standpoint of The Crucible.
No,
but
that's
I know
a historical
from,
fact. She was the first person accused.
She was the first. Well, yeah. Then I know it changed to, there were people, because there was actually Salem Town and then Salem Village, and the people in Salem Village, like the poor, were accusing the rich.
There
like
you
the
go.
Wealthier part, the mercantile part of town.
Well, there you go.
So that,
Sam.
So it's in reverse in part, and then it's not, because, like, the have-nots are like, well, they have all this money, they must be witches, and I want them to be hanged because they have this money, and I don't, and...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, is that a guitar? That
what?
Allie.
What?
Nothing. Okay.
No,
so,
that was a car.
What?
So, yeah, class warfare in that is, and again, obviously now we know it works both ways. It's the haves attacking the have-nots, and the have-nots attacking the haves. So it's going both ways. There's also the guilty until proven innocent thing, which basically means if you're accused of being a witch, you have basically no way to defend yourself, and you're going to be convicted. Here,
because you can't really prove witchcraft.
Yeah, you can't prove all, but you know, like people can claim what was known as spectral evidence, where they say, "Oh, she did this to my dog, or did this to my prize." Cow or something, and you can't disprove it. I mean,
I know what was said was it was they'd see you in a dream.
Yeah,
like this woman, she tried to kill me in a dream, or she was standing in the corner, and so well,
they use the phrase that they would use is like she sent her spirit out, to me, and it's like you can't really contest that back in the day. How that relates here, I mean, is basically just the way Amon is, like, totally against Benders, and his followers are totally against Benders. Like, there's no way, essentially, to redeem themselves in their eyes.
Yeah, this sort of reminds me of how the witches would be, like, the people I thought were witches would be thrown into, like, lakes and, like, see if they float or sank. So, you know, if you sank, you're not a witch, but you're dead. And if you floated... you're a witch and they're going to kill you anyway. So it's sort of like Amon who's taking their bending away, so if you're a bender, there's pretty much no way out for you.
Yeah. And plus, the thing, if you're convicted, if you plead guilty to being a witch, you're allowed to live, but you're scorned by everyone. And in their society, you know, they're a very religious society. Now you've lied.
And then eventually when you do die, you're very, you're not on sacred ground, which was so important to the people at the time.
And you've committed a crime against God in their eyes because now you've lied. If you say that you are a witch, again, well, no, that's okay. So if you say you're not a witch, you're not, if you say you're a witch, yeah, you're lying. If you say you're not a witch, you get hanged is essentially what happens. So it's kind of a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
Moral, don't get convicted of being witch.
Don't be witch, guys. Don't do it. It's bad.
And part of this comes into the use of spirituality and sort of mythology. That's a word. Mythology as a backing for this. Because, I mean, obviously, witchcraft and this idea of witchcraft being bad and all that comes from
the devil.
The Puritans' religious background, which they were Puritans, that's what they were called. Here, Amon kind of twists the story of the spirits and how he's been told by the spirits that he must, you know, the avatars failed and he must get rid of the benders.
And he's kind of the Antichrist, and well, like, we have this anti-avatar.
He's kind of got this false prophet thing going on, which very much ties into, like, an anti-avatar, which biblical terms would tie into this idea of, like, an Antichrist, which... We could go into a whole discussion about that, I guess. But we're not going to.
Okay, then.
And yeah, like this idea of hysteria too against witches, and then this hysteria that slowly builds throughout the arc against benders until at the end when you've got this like martial law basically going on against benders with the curfew. Or was that against... That was against non-benders.
Yeah, that was against
non-benders.
Either way, hysteria for everybody.
I mean, no matter which way it went, there was lockdown of society. I mean, people, especially in, you know, in Salem, I mean, they were afraid to, you know, talk to each other. Because if you were, like, consorting with a witch, you could be accused of being a witch.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were a dude, you were a witch, guys.
If you
just
looked
so
at
you
someone
know.
The wrong way. If you were a dog, you were a witch, apparently.
Yep, apparently, yes.
You looked at someone the wrong way, and you could be... accused of being a witch.
If they just straight up don't like you, that you're a witch.
Well, that's why they did that. They were like, hey, you're a witch.
They coveted something, like they wanted someone's land or someone's cattle or someone's something. So they accused them of being a witch, and when they get hanged, they just take it.
Well, I would like to point out that it both started out as selfish means. These two girls were like, hey, this is gonna, let's get this slave in trouble and say they're a witch. And then Amon is for his own, he wants to be in power.
Yeah, he's basically twisting things to.
I don't really know if it's so much as he wanted to be in power as he wanted bending to be abolished.
Well,
maybe it was close.
That doesn't make any sense because he didn't. But because that's the whole twisted thing of his logic. He's going to take others' bending away with his bending.
The point, though,
yeah, but that's
it's a whole other discussion.
Oh,
why
Amon did what he did. The point is, he wanted something personal, whether it was power or bending taken away or whatever. It was personal for him. It was personal revenge.
Not for the people.
Right. He lied and said it was for the people. I mean, we learned that from the lieutenant who's like, you know, I followed you for so long. And it's like, no, I don't.
No, just kidding.
It's all about me.
So it's one per. It's like one
Amon
person.
Is actually Cusco. You know, it's all about me.
Very fabulous. So, Delaney, do you want to explain the Tenzin and Cotton Mather connection?
Well, there was this, I believe he was a minister, a prominent minister in Massachusetts. His name was Cotton Mather.
So unfortunate.
Yeah, and it was about the spectral evidence where, because, you know, people were, like, you know, saying, oh, I saw him in a dream, and then Cotton Mather's like, guys, we can't do this. There's no proof. I mean, how can we prove spectral evidence? And, of course, this is in colonial America where everything's based off the English Constitution, which doesn't exist. It's a little, it's like this evolution of thought. And then, so Increase is like, hey, no, not Increase, sorry, Cotton. Increase is his son, which I will talk about in a minute. Cotton's like, we can't do this. So he's kind of the voice of reason in all this chaos. And that's what Tenzin tries to be. Like, hey, let's calm it all down. We don't need to attack non-benders. There's no reason for a war or anything.
Basically the voice of reason.
Yeah, so, you know, he's just like the kind of the rock. But then, of course, Cotton gets kind of tossed aside, as does Tenzin, to the point where Tenzin gets chased out.
Let's then, also bring up Tenzin's awesome line where he just says, this is just one of your ploys to get more powers.
Why do you always feel the need to bring that up?
Because it's just a great line. Who says that? People don't say that.
I think you're making it worse than it actually is.
No, it's
like,
bad.
No, when you're watching it, it's like, okay, I can get this, but when you really think about it.
Could you imagine another human saying that to another human? Like, two people, it's like, this is just when you ploy to get more power, isn't it?
Well, in what context would you ever be saying that?
In context such as politics. Context,
it only happens in a cartoon, guys. Okay.
Anyway. Do you have
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I say that all the time.
Shut up, Kelly.
Can I talk about Increase Mather real quick?
Yes, you can.
I'm trying to see if I can find that quote, but... Increase Mather was Cotton's son. And he was, I think he was the head guy somewhere, head guy for something at Harvard. Oh. And he said, I'm going to see if I can find the exact quote. I wish I hadn't closed out of this.
That's okay.
Salem Witch Trials.
Entertain people. Not that way.
Found it. Okay. Ta-da-da-da. Okay. No, I don't want your ads.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Exactly. Okay. Increase Mather, he was the president of Harvard. He said, it were better that 10 suspected witches should escape than one innocent person be condemned. And I'd say, that sounds pretty Tenzin-ish to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Tenzin wouldn't, you know, I mean, I feel like that was Tenzin's big idea, you know, like, whoa, let's just... calm down.
Check your Slovakia before you wreck your Slovakia. That one? Get it? What? Yes, it's funny. It's a satirical.
Yeah. It's a pun.
Wow. It is a pun. You have to think about the spelling of those words.
Gotcha. That was wow.
Yeah,
wow. That was
great.
I don't get it.
So. Oh, I got it.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see if Lem gets it.
I'd applaud
nope.
you, but my hands
it's not coming.
Come together.
You're gonna check your Slovakia.
Oh my god.
You're okay. Slovakia.
Okay, just think about it.
Do I have to write it down or how? How Slovakia
spelled? Just go think about it. Just go think about it.
Doesn't exist anymore. That's your hint.
Yeah.
Okay, caught increased mat. I don't even know where we are anymore.
Clearing of Cabbage Core and the restitution. And how that was basically apologies, I suppose. Well.
So
for being wrong.
Okay. Can I share the information I have about
yes,
it?
Yes, please do.
Well, it might be pretty well known that after all these people died in Salem, the judges were like, I'm so sorry, we killed all these people, and I just feel terrible, I can't sleep. And it's like, really, guys? And they issued, like, official statements and, like, pardoned all the people. Of course, this was, like, a few years later, but...
Lem's laughing. I think he got the joke.
I got it. Check
Okay. All right. Everyone else in podcast has to figure it out for themselves.
Hopefully. And then put it on the forums and be like, Eureka!
Which are dead, by the way. I meant to say this right in the beginning. Now. I meant to say this in the beginning. Please go on the forums and say things because it gets lonely. So please go do that.
I'm very sad. You need to get on the forums. Anyway.
Just
talking about restitution. There
restitution.
We go. There were so also the state. Well, I think it was just still a colony at that point. I don't know. Massachusetts is like, well, let's give all these families £600 because we killed their family members. It's like, okay, that's thanks, guys. But and then what we see in Avatar, Korra, whatever, same thing. Cabbage Corp, Hiroshi. Frames Cabbage Corp. So they get, I mean, after we find out about Hiroshi, we're like, it's redeemed, Cabbage Corp's okay, the cabbage guy wasn't bad, yay! So that's my whole
I just love the conspiracy theories behind why he would have gone bad, though. It was great. Yeah. It was really touching. The way he just got so angry about the cabbages.
The avatars.
Completely.
He's even worse than Ozai.
Evil, yeah. So, yeah, those are basically our similarities. Now, there obviously is slight differences, as Sam pointed out earlier.
Well,
there's...
Oh, sorry.
I mean, the one thing here is this is like a grassroots movement versus the government. Because the thing about Salem and Puritans is it was a theology. Not a theology. What am I saying? It was a theocracy. Yep. It was a theocracy, which was basically government and church were one.
Yeah, the Congregationalists were in charge.
Church leaders were also government leaders. So it was the church and the government as one accusing all these people of this, of witchcraft, where here in Korra, we see it's the opposite. It's this sort of rebellious grassroots group that is going against, essentially going against the government, which, as we can see, the council members, most of them, I think, are benders. I mean, we know at least two of them are.
Yeah.
And going against, you know, the masses who are also benders. So the accusations kind of go in reverse, and it's also sort of in reverse with the have-nots attacking the haves, but as Delaney pointed out, it did go both ways.
I think to add on to what you said, that I think it was confirmed that all the people on the council were, in fact, benders.
Yeah.
A while ago.
So, yeah, see, it's going against the government, who is, it's basically everything in reverse. And it's also, Delaney eloquently pointed out, that the government, or not the government, but what's going on in Korra kind of slows its roll. It's not, we're not going immediately to
let's hang everybody, to burn the witch!
Executing people, although you
had to
make,
do it.
You could make the argument that taking away bending is
kind of the same,
is equivalent to hanging, which they immediately, they're like no bones about taking away bending. They're like, take his bending away, do it now. So it's, you could make the argument that it is
a little extreme, but
it is still doing similar things at a similar pace.
I mean, it has the same amount of value to the people who are suffering the punishment.
Yeah, we saw that with Tano. It's quite sad.
And like, I mean, the glazed eyes and stuff. I mean, they, for a little bit, you're like, oh my god, are they dead?
Yeah. So yeah. It is equatable. There's also the fact that with the Korra situation, it ended up basically in like a battle, in like a war in the city.
A civil war, yeah.
Yeah, which was a giant escalation from what happened in Salem, which really I don't think there was any huge violent outbreaks from that.
Oh no, Salem, it was like it happened over like the course of a few months, and then it just stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, 20 people were hanged and a dog, I don't know why, and then that's it.
You have to wonder about that dog. Like, what's
Yeah, I'm just
do?
Like, what did that poor... I guess it was like the witch's familiar or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I was thinking the same thing. Well, it's almost like a
devil dog
in The Omen, where you've got that creepy dog that's hanging around the Antichrist child, but whatever. Anyway, so yeah, Korra's obviously ended up in like a battle to the point where like their equivalent of like the UN army had to like come in and
break it
take yeah, basically
it's like break going on
it
in
up.
Public city.
Yeah, so I mean, those are the differences. It is, you know, at first glance you think it's not. I mean, it is similar, not similar. It's
I mean, you can definitely. I mean, there are definite comparisons. I mean, you have the prosecution of two groups by another group of the same society. It's on external force
for similar reasons as well. It's a very personal vengeance
and
economic. Not for the better good. It definitely was not done for the good of the people by the people who are making the accusations and the people who are carrying it out on both sides. Like, it was very, very for personal gain, essentially.
Yeah, and I would. I don't think I got to pointed out exactly, but I kind of hinted at it. It was the economic, like, it was very economically driven on both sides. Like, Hiroshi, taking out Cabbage Corp was, I mean, that boosted his business.
Yeah. And you also look at, competitors. Too, we talked about how these benders were able to get jobs that non-benders couldn't have, like Mako working at the power plant, generating electricity. Like, I'm sure
metal bending police. We don't see any other police officers.
There's jobs that are open to benders that are completely not open to non-benders. So obviously there, it's an economic thing as well.
Yeah.
And then obviously McCarthyism with communism. Like, you just substitute the word witchcraft for communism and you have the same exact thing happening.
Yeah.
And that was the purpose of the Crucible, was to speak out about it.
Yeah. And again, for those who live out yonder of the borders of the United States...
Or Canada.
That is one place where you may live.
Yeah.
Let's count, guys.
McCarthyism is, as you may or may not know, U.S. does not apparently like communism.
Really?
We were not a fan of it, especially in the 50s and 60s. And basically this guy McCarthy, who was a senator, had this like witch hunt for communists in the U.S., I think particularly in the U.S. government, I'm not really sure, but it was basically this entire witch hunt where basically...
There was a commission for it.
Yeah, and there was the House in American and all that stuff, where you would basically do what you did in the Salem witch trials, where you would accuse your neighbor of being a communist, and it often happened for the same reasons that happened in the Salem witch trials. And the person who brought this comparison to our attention was Arthur Miller, who wrote The Crucible, which we talked about earlier. So, and then you could... do I want to go there?
Yes, you do.
I don't know.
Go for it.
No, I'm just going to keep it to myself.
Tell us.
No.
Just go for it.
No.
Why you suck now?
What could we possibly have to lose?
Is it dirty?
My life. No, I'm kidding. Is it? Who said that?
What do you think? No, it's just modern. To put it kind of, I guess, vaguely, it's just modern day.
You could substitute another word for communist, and you basically have a similar hysteria. And I'm talking about religious affiliations.
Actually, I agree.
Let's just move on.
So I'm going to move on from that.
No, I don't know. It depends on what you think, anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It depends on. It's a sticky issue, so I'm just going to let that one go. But anyway, there's our argument towards Salem Witch Trials, and
I don't really see it.
Sam is inclined to play devil's advocate.
Some points.
Sam's a witch. That's the whole point. That's what's going on.
She's a witch.
I see some points. She's a bender. Like, I don't really see.
She's a water bender.
I don't see them being like completely similar.
No, they're not completely similar, but they're obviously they're not completely similar.
But like, go away, like, Sam.
Wow,
not more than one point. More, like anything more than like, I don't know. I just don't see it. I don't feel.
Not even
it.
A I little bit. I didn't bring you on this podcast.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. Nothing. Allie's making weird comments. I don't know. A little bit. She's still going. I can't
what is happening right now?
I can't control her sometimes.
A little bit.
You're reaching a volume only dogs can hear. Stop it.
Yeah, I'm done.
Wait, it's like in Family... No, don't watch Family Guy unless you are old enough to watch Family Guy. But it's
because I did this to you an hour ago and you didn't understand.
Did you finish the novel that you wrote?
Okay, if you're going to tell kids not to watch
Family
Guy...
Okay, this is de-escalating really quickly. This is going downhill really, really fast. Okay.
It started off downhill.
This is what you people get in between seasons of Korra, so just...
Deal with
Take it and enjoy it.
And listen to it.
And listen to it and go on the forums.
And comment about it on the forums, darn it.
I'm bored. I did something like 3 days ago and I'm still the last person to post. And I'm like, well, that's
Wait,
boring.
You did?
Yeah. Go look on the forum. Go look for the giant green blob.
I posted stuff.
Better things to do.
Where's your post? Is that at dongbufeng.net?
It's at dongbufeng.net/forums.
/forums. That's where it is.
That is where it is. If you want to find it, that's where it is.
I see the post.
Shameless plug.
You see the post? Oh my gosh. That's great. See it. You guys can see it too if you go on the forums.
Personally.
Wow. Okay. So, I have been your main host.
It is there.
Oh my god. I wasn't lying. I posted.
Oh my
god. Do you think you just made it up?
My name on the forums is Black Cat. Not that that means anything to you, because you can't really follow me.
And this thing.
Okay, so this has been...
Okay. I've been your main host, Mel. God, I don't know why I do that, Mel.
My god.
My co-hosts have been Allie, Delaney, Lem, Sam. And there's some stuff to say at the end, but Dylan told me not to, so we should end on something.
Burn the witch!
I don't know if that's offensive.
Kill the beast!
It's not offensive.
Kill the beast. I like that one. Oh my goodness.
No, that doesn't make sense.
I was in that show, Allie.
I know you were. I saw you.
I'm glad. Did you think I did good?
Yes, let's end. I thought you did well.
Now we've gone to Mel fishing for
compliments. Did you hear my line?
Mel, let's end on...
What was my line in that show? I did say that.
Let's end this, please. Let's end on.
We're gonna end on Kill the Beast, but you're just like freaking fighting me.
End on something.
Kill the Beast.
Something. Let's just say something.
Okay. All right, ready? I'm gonna count to three.
One, two, three.
Kill the Beast.
Kill the Beast.
Kill the Beast. All right, look, we're done. You guys ruined it. We're done.